This is Charlie Bost reading the Pantagraph for March 22nd, 2017. On the front page is an article titled, School Founder, The Community is Our Classroom. The article is written by Julia Evelsizer. Bloomington. Museums, farms, and galleries in Bloomington Normal will transform into classrooms when a new elementary school opens this fall in Bloomington. Bloom Community School will begin its first year of operation, serving kindergarten through fifth grade students in August. Initially, the school will share learning space with Milestones Early Learning Center, 1207 Six Points Road in Bloomington. But school founder Laura Kalmus said the community is our classroom. The school is a modern interpretation of an old adage, it takes a village to raise a child, said Kalmus. Schools are often siloed in different facilities in the community. This is an attempt to bridge the community piece with the education piece. Curriculum at the new school will be project-based, said Kalmus, while maintaining state learning standards. Due to the desire to maintain a low student-to-teacher ratio, enrollment will be capped at about 50 students with three full-time teachers and three teachers' aides during the school's pilot year. Children will be taught in multi-grade classrooms. We recognize the school is small. It's not meant to be an isolated core group of kids, but to have a radiating effect in other schools in the community, said Kalmus. We are equipping kids to be peer leaders. Bloom School has partnered with entities like the McLean County Museum of History, the Children's Discovery Museum, the West Bloomington Revitalization Project, and University of Illinois Extension, where much of the project-based learning will occur. It's really based on the idea that learning is an integrated experience. To divide the way we learn into math, science, and social studies is an artificial way to engage in learning, said Kalmus. Project-based education helps prepare children to be the critical thinkers and solution makers we'll need in our community moving forward. Examples of that project-based learning technique will be shared during summer programs hosted by the school. Registration for the summer sessions and fall semester is open now. One of the summer sessions is called Feeding Our Future. The project will look at ways we can increase food access through the community, said Kalmus. During the lesson, students will visit multiple gardens and farms in McLean County where they will identify locally sourced food while learning about agriculture. Students will help maintain and harvest produce and will compile a cookbook for a final project. They will complete math exercises like determining the mileage food travels from farm to table. Writing the cookbook will teach them stages of literacy through writing, revision, and publishing, said Kalmus. Other summer sessions include a study of community parks where students will learn about physics, geography, and map making. A study of local history through museum visits and interviews with nursing home residents, and a fine arts session with trips to theaters and installing art projects. Hannah Johnson, Education Program Coordinator at the McLean County Museum of History, said she is eager to collaborate with Bloom Community School through the summer program and the upcoming semester. The privilege and potential of having a group of students who may be able to visit multiple times in one semester means you can establish a relationship between them and the space, said Johnson. The museum no longer becomes this static thing they came and saw once. We're looking forward to the opportunity to put together our programming with the school and establish longer-term relationships. Kalmus received a doctorate from the University of Wisconsin in Madison, studying educational policy and curriculum instruction. Johnson said Kalmus' experience in curriculum is a skill set we can take advantage of when it comes to evaluation of our programs. For more information about school registration and introductory events, visit BloombergCommunitySchool.org. And there's two picture captions to read. Ken Chu photographs members of Bloom Community School from left, founder Laura Kalmus, project manager Karen McDowell, Rachel Lapwit, and Grace Sheets, leadership team members. And the second picture caption is Bloom Community School founder Laura Kalmus talks with her leadership team members at the Come Together Space, 212 North Roosevelt Street, Bloomington, on Friday. Those pictures are credited to Steve Smedley. Now, a second article on the front page of the March 22nd Pantograph. Normal council candidates differ on Metro Zone underpass. The article is by Derek Bay, spelled B-E-I-G-H. Normal city council member Kevin McCarthy said Tuesday he's optimistic Bloomington will return to the bargaining table on the Metro Zone after the April 4th election. I'm hoping that cooler heads are going to prevail in 2 weeks and we can get back to the table and get past this, he said of the Bloomington City Council's February 27th decision to terminate the 30-year-old revenue-sharing deal for West Side commercial and retail development. This issue is much bigger than Normal and Bloomington, and we really need to get back to the table and work together so we can move forward as a community. That issue, more than any other, divided a largely agreeable field of council candidates at a forum Tuesday night. Participants were incumbents McCarthy and Scott Preston, and challengers Kimberly Cummings and Ron Ulmer. And by the way, the picture on the first page, there's four pictures in the order of Cummings, McCarthy, Preston, and Ulmer. Ulmer said the town needs to forget about the Metro Zone and move on. It would be great if Bloomington would cooperate with us on many issues. If they don't, fine, he said. The two cities sparring over this agreement is bad for economic development. It's bad publicity for the community when we don't look united. Cummings and Preston said the more important point is that city and town officials listen to each other and understand each other's perspectives. The Bloomington City Council unilaterally terminated the Metro Zone, saying it favored Normal by a net $1.2 million per year, and has not responded to Normal's request to continue negotiating a new deal. Being able to have the conversation and understand where each other is coming from and respect that is vital, said Preston. Candidates also differed on whether the town should build an underpass, overpass, or no crossing at Uptown Station to get Amtrak passengers and other pedestrians across the tracks to the future Uptown South area. The town is paying engineering firm WSP Parsons Brinkerhoff of New York $1.4 million to study which option is best. The town nearly went out for bids on an overpass in 2014, estimated then at $8.6 million, before deciding to do more research into an underpass, estimated at, in 2014, at $12.7 million. The long-term benefits of having the underpass will way outweigh having the overpass, said Cummings. Preston said he prefers an at-grade crossing between Uptown Station and the Children's Discovery Museum, which railroad officials have ruled out. and he wants to see what the study has to say. McCarthy said he favors an at-grade crossing between buildings as well. If we have to choose over and under, and we're able to get federal or state grants, I'm happy to support those options, McCarthy said. Without federal or state funding, I don't think those are feasible. Ulmer said he favors using the current Linden Street crossing about a half a block from the station until it becomes clear how much traffic will use the new south platform. He noted walking from the station to Linden and back to the south platform is shorter than walking the platform at Chicago's Union Station. The candidates also discussed sharing sales tax revenues across the city and town, which they support in general terms. A joint public library, which they would like to preserve without Bloomington would join, and that supporting local business and young entrepreneurs is crucial to economic development. The discussion, hosted by WGLT and the McLean County League of Women Voters at Illinois State University Galleries, was the latest in a series of election forums. The final forum, at 6 p.m. Tuesday at the galleries, will feature Bloomington Mayor Tari Renner and challenger Kevin Lower. Now an article from page A3 of the March 22nd Pantograph. Groups challenge community to get up and moving. The article is written by Paul Sweek. Bloomington, a coalition dedicated to making the healthy choice, the easy choice in McLean County, wants county residents to come together this spring by exercising more and in different places with other people. The McLean County Wellness Coalition's Workplace Wellness Subcommittee on Tuesday unveiled a six-week fitness challenge for any county resident age 16 and older, designed to track exercise minutes, experience new places to exercise, and increase camaraderie. This is an opportunity free of charge for the community, said coalition member Brandy Kimball of Four Seasons Health Club. We would like to get people up and moving. The coalition includes representatives of McLean County hospitals, local governments, human services agencies, schools, fitness centers, and businesses. The subcommittee met Tuesday afternoon at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center for Healthy Lifestyles. The challenge is April 10 through May 20. Each Monday, participants will be asked to submit total minutes of intentional exercise performed the prior week, explained Aaron Kennedy of St. Joseph's Center for Healthy Lifestyles. In addition to promote a variety of exercise, the coalition has developed a focus of the week. Participants can earn one bonus point for each day they exercise at a focus of the week location, Kennedy said. For week one, the focus is exercising in a park. For week two, the focus is exercising at a fitness center, because many fitness centers offer free trials, Kennedy said. For week three, the focus is exercising at home. For week four, exercising at work. And for week five, exercising with a buddy. The week six focus is supporting the community's good-to-go challenge by finding an alternate way to commute other than driving by yourself. It's important for people to step out of their regular workout, said Joanne Glancy of Project Oz. This is an opportunity for people to find something that fits them, said Jackie Beckner of the town of Normal. They may be in a park playing with their kids. It may not feel like a workout, but it is. The best exercise is the one that you actually will do, said Sarah Summer of Advocate Broman Health and Fitness Center. By using our parks and different areas of the community, people are getting out and meeting new people, said Lane Sylvester of the Snyder Companies. Brian Thede of the McLean County Chamber of Commerce's Employers Coalition of Healthcare noted that wellness programs are good for business because they improve morale and productivity and reduce stress and health care costs. Kennedy said the coalition supports the work of the Community Health Needs Assessment, which found that 30% of county residents are obese. Also on page A3 of the March 22nd paragraph, Corny Superhero Tractor, Part of Ag Day. The article is by Lenore Sabota. Normal. If there's one thing that farmers know, it's that you can't change the weather. You just have to deal with it. That goes for Illinois State University Ag students marking the Ag Day Tuesday on the quad. The blustery, drizzly day made it difficult to persuade fellow students to stop long enough for a free can of koozie, pencil, and farm facts. I tell them, "You're ag students, you can handle this," said agriculture professor Aslan Spalding, faculty advisor to ISU NAMA, the campus chapter of the National Agri Marketing Association. Even a brief bit of sleet didn't deter them from their mission, although it did send them under a tent for a bit. Members on ISU NAMA were on the quad as part of a nationwide celebration of Ag Day. Spalding said the purpose of Ag Day is promoting agriculture to everybody and making them aware that it's a huge contributor to the economy. Amanda Diesberg of Paxton, an ag communications senior who is president of ISU NAMA, said that when it comes to students without a farm background, they don't know what they don't know. They think agriculture is just about farming, she said, but as Spalding noted, it also includes many related fields, from marketing to education to transportation to horticulture. Last year, Diesberg attended the Agriculture Future of America Policy Institute in Washington, D.C., which included learning how to communicate with public officials about ag issues. As part of the institute, she visited with several lawmakers, including U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, a Republican from Taylorville. A lot of them were especially interested in students coming to Capitol Hill, she said. When Spalding joined the faculty 14 years ago, there were 220 students in the department. Now the department has more than 600 majors, about half of them in agribusiness, she said. Employment opportunities are a major reason for that growth, according to Spalding. There are more jobs than there are students, good-paying jobs, she said. Cody Smith, a junior in agribusiness from Clinton whose grandfather farmed, is hoping to get a job in crop insurance or another field that will keep you close to farmers and be involved in farming. Diesberg plans to work in marketing or public relations for an agriculture company when she graduates. Dana Kokanig, an agribusiness junior from Orland Park, said the problem faced by agriculture include misunderstandings resulting from not being in touch with people in the cities. That's one reason for events such as Ag Day, to teach people more about the broad scope of agriculture, she said. Students passing between classes barely seem to notice the large John Deere farm tractor driven down from the university farms and parked on the quad for the event. But Captain Cornelius, a costumed superhero with a head of corn on the cob, saved the day by attracting a number of students for pictures. At least the costume kept Kokanig warm as she posed for photos. And the photo on the page A3 is captioned, "Freshman Matthew McCoy of Peoria poses Tuesday with Captain Cornelius, while freshman Kaylee Slavins of Peoria takes their picture at Ag Day on the quad." The photo is credited to Lenore Sabota. Now, another article written by Lenore Sabota. Heartland Funding Cuts Threaten Student Progress. Lincoln. Heartland Community College officials are concerned that cutbacks made because of the state budget impasse could hurt the progress the school has made in keeping students in school. In addition, Doug Minter, Vice President for Business Services, told the Board of Trustees meeting Tuesday at Heartland's Lincoln Center that the college has drawn about $135,000 from its contingency fund 2/3 of the way through its fiscal year, which is not standard process in a normal budget year. Heartland is still working from stopgap state funding from last year as the governor and lawmakers seek agreement on a balanced budget for this fiscal year, which began July 1st. In a report to the board, Heartland President Rob Widmer said the college has made gains in student persistence, the measure of students returning to school from semester to semester and earning certificates or degrees. Widmer credited that improvement in persistence, coupled with programs such as College Now, which enables students to get college credit while still in high school, for Heartland's ability to show an overall gain in enrollment from 2013 to 2017. Heartland was among only three public community colleges in the state to register enrollment gains in that period. Heartland's overall enrollment rose 2.5% from spring 2013 to spring 2017. The only others to show increases were Harper College, with a 2.6% increase, and the College of DuPage, with a gain of 1.9%. "This is where it gets a little scary," said Widmer. "We've had to cut student support services. Is that going to have a longer-term impact if we don't have more money to put into it?" The cuts include reduction in tutor availability and library hours, he said after the meeting. While the college does not have evidence that the cut in support services is having a negative impact, it is a concern, said Widmer. The college has made a conscious effort to focus on keeping students in school, not only to stabilize its enrollment, but also to fulfill its commitment to student success. Citing figures from the National Student Clearinghouse and the National Community College Benchmark Project, Widmer said Heartland is far exceeding the national benchmarks, indicative of the commitment we made to our students, our commitment to student success. For example, among Heartland students who started 2009 and attended college exclusively full-time, 79% received a certificate or degree within 6 years, compared to a national benchmark of 54.5%. More dramatically, 61.5% of those full-time students received a bachelor's degree in that 6-year period, compared to a national benchmark of 24.7%. In another matter, the board discussed a bill moving through the General Assembly that could give some community colleges the authority to grant bachelor's degrees in nursing. Widmer said, based on discussion among staff, Heartland would not pursue authority to grant such degrees, even if the legislation passes. Heartland officials would support passage of the legislation, however. On page A4 of the March 22nd pantograph, the top of the page is a picture that's not associated with any article. The caption is, "Friends and family gather Tuesday at Bone Student Center in Normal to welcome Illinois State University's Big Red Marching Machine home from Ireland. The band was named Best Overall Band in the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dublin and was overall winner of the 47th Limerick International Band Competition on Sunday." And a number of the signs say, "Welcome Home BRMM." And that stands for Big Red Marching Machine, I assume. Going on to an article on that same page, "McLean County Corrections Officers Get Raises" by Derek Beigh, I'm going to guess, B-E-I-G-H. Bloomington. McLean County Correction employees will get substantial raises for the last 2 years under the new contract approved Tuesday. 65 correctional officers, correctional sergeants, and control operators, represented by the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council, will receive 3% raises for fiscal years 2016 and 2017, a cost of $90,000 per year for the county. The raises are equal to what county sheriff's deputies got under an arbitrator's ruling. Dispatch employees got 2.75% raises for 2016 and 2017. Highway workers represented by the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees got 2.5% annual increases through 2019. And all full-time employees not working under collective bargaining agreements got 1.75% raises for 2017. Generally, we've entered into 3-year contracts, but this contract is only for 2 years at the request of the county due to our concerns about what may happen relative to the state's budget and its impact on local governmental units, said County Administrator Bill Wasson. We did not feel we were in a place to take up the cost of an arbitration when we were able to receive a 2-year contract. With Tuesday's agreement, all county employees are now under current contracts, said Wasson. Corrections employees and Metcom Dispatch Center employees worked under previous contracts from the beginning of 2016 to early this year. Predominantly, it was the fact that we were in arbitration with sheriff's deputies, which concluded a few months ago, said Wasson, of the delay in reaching a corrections contract. Corrections employees, Metcom dispatchers, and sheriff's deputies are working under contracts that will expire at the end of 2017, so the county will be negotiating with them again soon, said Wasson. And there's a small picture labeled Wasson. The last article I'll read on this page, final DNA report expected in attempted murder case. It's by Edith Brady Lunney, Bloomington. A trial date could be set in April after DNA test results are finalized in the attempted murder case involving a double stabbing in Saybrook. Arthur A.J. Corey of Gibson City is charged with stabbing 2 people during an argument in September at a home on West Harrison Street. He also is charged with home invasion, aggravated battery, and violating an order of protection. McLean County Assistant State's Attorney Mary Cole said the Illinois State Police Crime Lab is expected to submit its report of DNA testing within the next several weeks. Cole and a defense attorney, Aldam Dill, agreed that a trial date could be set when the case is reviewed on April 28th. According to police, Corey was acquainted with the 54-year-old man who was stabbed in the chest, flank, and back. A woman, 46, had lacerations, said police. Corey remains jailed in lieu of $30,035. And the small picture associated is simply labeled Corey. That ends part one of the reading of the pantograph of March 22nd, Wednesday, March 22nd. This is Charlie Boast signing off.